Metropolitan Johannes, you're here taking part in this event commemorating 50 years of the Council for Christian Unity as it enters perhaps a new phase of the dialogue. What do you see, first of all, as the most important fruits of the past 50 years, the greatest achievement of this Council?
Well, of course, the first and most important fruit is the relationships of love and respect that have been cultivated by the Council, particularly between Catholics and Orthodox. Because, as you know, in the past, in the second millennium, there have been many, I would say, even conflicts between Orthodox and Catholics. And so this change, this reversal of the atmosphere, change of the atmosphere, is, I think, the most important thing. Then I think, for me as a theologian, and I think for the Church as a whole, the theological dialogue has been a real blessing, a fruit of the work of the Pontifical Council. Of course, in cooperation with the Orthodox, but the people that started the dialogue, like Cardinal Willebrands, Bishop Dupré, Eleftherio Fortino, and so on, they were so enthusiastic about it that we miss them very much. I wish they were still here. So it was a period really of enthusiasm, of great expectations when we started the dialogue. I think the momentum continues. The dialogue is still, in spite of the difficulties, of course, still in the center of our relations, the Roman Catholic and Orthodox relations. And I believe that there is a future in the dialogue.
There are still many, though, in the Orthodox world who are very sceptical, who see the Council and the dialogue as still a kind of attempt to bring the Orthodox world under Rome's authority.
Well, this is why I chose to speak about that in my address tonight, because I think it's a misunderstanding. I mean, the opposition to the theological dialogue and to these contacts between Catholics and Orthodox, I think, is rooted in this fear, which is totally unjustifiable now after Vatican II. That's why I quoted from Vatican II. Clear statements that make this fear unjustifiable. I think we have to stress this point, and those, of course, of goodwill, they will take it into consideration. There are those who will not be persuaded, no matter what.
The current discussions are focusing very much on the question of primacy, how it was exercised before the Great Schism. What are your hopes? How much hope can we have that an agreement will be reached in this very difficult area?
Well, the subject is very difficult, but in spite of that, I have reasons to be optimistic, because in Ravenna we managed to agree on two fundamental points about primacy. A, that primacy at the universal level is necessary, it's part of the nature of the Church. And B, that primacy must be exercised in connection with synodality, so that we'll not have a monarchical and absolute authority that would make the Orthodox difficult to accept primacy. So once these two principles are respected, I think the rest is easy to agree on, because in the first millennium, this is what happened. There was primacy. The Bishop of Rome was the first bishop of all the patriarchs, was the first one, and this was recognized by everybody. But it was also the case in the first millennium that the Pope would not claim jurisdiction over other patriarchates. This developed later in the second millennium, but in the first millennium there was no sense of jurisdiction in any case. So if we take the first millennium as our basis. And that's what also the De Ecumenismo of Vatican II and Pope John Paul II said to Patriarch Demetrius Constantinople. This is the ground on which the Orthodox and the Catholics should unite, the first millennium. And I think things will become easier to come in agreement between us on the question also of primacy.